What if you could trade Monopoly money for real money? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. In Luke 16, Jesus makes a strange assertion that our money isn't real in the ultimate sense. It only has value during the game. He follows that up with an even more challenging teaching. We can trade in our play money for genuine riches. We disciples need to gain heaven's perspective on our earthly goods. Today, Jim will clarify the new paradigm that the Lord gave us in the parable of the shrewd manager.
We, who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, are stewards. We don't own anything. We understand that everything we have from our lives, our talents, our health, our strength, our opportunities, all of those are gifts from God. He has loaned them to us, and we are to be managing them for His glory. That's why Jesus says down in verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in that which is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in the managing of the opportunities God's stewardship provides you, why would you expect Him to entrust to you eternal responsibilities? If you have not been faithful, verse 12, in that which is another man's, if we prove to be unfaithful in managing the stewardship of the possessions God commits to our care during this lifetime, who will give you what is your own?" So the Lord Jesus is very clearly saying to His disciples, you are stewards. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You are responsible for managing your lives as stewards entrusted by God with the disposal and direction of His wealth. That's the heart of the parable. He goes on to stress that in verse 13. You can't be mastered, or you can't have two masters, two bosses. Either you recognize that God is the one who owns these resources of time, talent, effort, health, all of these things. God owns it all, and you are serving Him by the way you manage those assets. Or you are serving the assets, and that ultimately means you're serving yourself. You're using the assets in order to advantage yourself. And therein, you become dangerously slave to the assets. That is, the more assets I can accumulate, the better I feel about myself, the more successful I feel, the more I like myself, the more comfort I can afford. Therefore, I need to get more assets. And then the temptation is to use whatever means is necessary to accumulate more assets. And it's so easy to slip into the accumulation of assets by disadvantaging others, by breaking the law, by looking for insider information. And that runs afoul. It ultimately destroys your character. So the heart of this whole parable brings us to face our stewardship of God's resources. And Jesus then makes the application of that principle, contrasting our seeming slowness in this area against the swiftness and decisiveness of people who in this generation, people who are only living for their own lives, people who have no view, no concern, no goal of eternal values. They're just living for themselves in their own generation. Jesus says they are more shrewd than the sons of light. And then he challenges his disciples, verse 9, make friends for yourselves by the use of unrighteous mammon, that when it fails, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. What the unjust steward did was very shrewd. He used the resources of his manager, of his boss, in order to secure for himself an advantage after his stewardship failed. His logic was, if I use my master's resources in such a way to make friends of my master's debtors, then when I'm out of my master's employment, these whom I have secured as friends will invite me into their houses. And Jesus uses that to say to his disciples, mammon is a failing system. It has limits and shortcuts. The most obvious of that is no one writes a check 3 seconds after he's dead. You never see the U-Haul follow the hearse. Mammon, those tangible things having to do with praise, popularity, power, possessions, those things fail. One of the weekly news magazines has a column, and every week they publish brief biographical sketches of folks who died that week. It's amazing how some of the most powerful people in the world, the most productive, humanly speaking, the most prodigious, how they die. Most of them die alone in a hospital someplace. Very few, if any, friends. Usually no relatives, alone. Jesus says that we're children of light, and he says we're living within a system and using things that are only temporary. He says, use those things that are entrusted to you by God, which are temporary, use them, anticipating their demise, understanding their limited value, and use them strategically in order to advantage someone else for eternal reasons, so that when this life and the mammon fails, it will have been so invested that those friends made through its strategic use now will welcome you into everlasting habitations, will welcome you into heaven. See, in a sense, that's what we're trying to do with the auditorium. We're trying to take these tangible, physical things, change them, alter them, inconvenience ourselves, and put an awful lot of work into an effort to use this building, this property, these resources, our talents, in order to create an environment where the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be clarified, and where folk will be invited to receive the gift of eternal life through trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, we could, very simply, refuse to do that. We could take the attitude that this sanctuary is a holy place and it should not be defiled by the traffic of sinners, that this spot is dedicated to God, therefore we should not, and then go through a whole list of religious or high-sounding excuses for not using it. We had just moved into a new part of our facility many years ago. And the question was, are we going to have, or are we going to allow a certain program in the church to take place in this new facility? The walls were nicely painted. The windows were clean. The floor was unscuffed. And to invite a certain ministry of the church to use this facility was to put it at risk. The floor was going to get scuffed. The walls were going to get marked. Windows were going to be broken. And it was such a delight to sit with the leaders of your church and hear them say, wait a minute, this facility was created for ministry purposes. We should not elevate this space at the expense of a ministry designed to reach boys and girls. Right? That's strategic thinking. That's taking something that is tangible, something that is a part of mammon, focusing it, surrendering it, using it in order to make friends for eternity. Jesus had told an earlier story back in chapter, look with me. It's back in chapter 14 and verse 12. And here the same principle is set forth in a little different setting. It may be easier to grasp here. In chapter 14, Jesus is sitting in the Pharisee's house, guest of this marvelous Sabbath meal. Verse 12, Jesus also said to him who invited him into his home, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Jesus is saying that the heart of our stewardship, the heart of our commitment to God, is expressed in how we use tangible stuff. During this window we call time, during the 10, 20, 30, 40 years that we may have, using those resources strategically to accomplish eternal benefit through making friends, calling others into a relationship with God, so that when this life is over and we stand in God's presence, they will come and greet you. In that hour, you will be so glad you gave. You'll be so thrilled that God took your gift of time, talent, whatever it may be, and used it as a means to touch the heart of someone, and they responded to the offer of eternal salvation. That's the point Jesus is making. So he leaves his disciples with two lessons. First of all, you are stewards. You are not owners, you are managers. Everything you have belongs to God. And he is watching your ministry. If you waste his substance, you will not recover your reward. Because how you manage his resources is an illustration of your character, your true heart. And if you use his resources now just to accumulate and to satisfy and to please yourself, don't anticipate him entrusting to you larger measures of responsibility in the eternity we spend with him. Don't expect to be rewarded for your slothfulness. You have proven your character. You have demonstrated that you are a servant of mammon, and you are using mammon for your own selfish reasons. Lesson number one. Lesson number two. Be as smart about serving God and accomplishing things that last forever. Be as shrewd in that business. Be as practical in that business. Be as downright earnest about that business as men are in this world about the decisions they make and the risks they take that advantage them personally. Now, when the Pharisees heard this, because they are lovers of mammon, they raised their nose at Jesus. Who does this Galilean rabbi think he is? Who does this hick from Nazareth know about the real world? Who is he? He doesn't have any place to lay his head. He doesn't have his own house. He doesn't have a bank account. His whole life here is made possible through the gracious and generous gifts of a couple of women. Who is he to advise us about wealth and to choose? Jesus responds by saying to them, God is not as interested about how much you have as he is what your heart leads you to do with what you have. And when you stand before God, Mr. Pharisee, all of your religious profession will be shown to be just an outward facade. Because God looks at the heart. I wonder, as God does a review of the stubs of my checkbook, I wonder if it's clear to him or to anybody else that would look that eternal things are worth temporal sacrifice. I wonder if he looks at my day timer, my schedule. Is it clear from perusing that I am truly flat out committed to strategizing my time in order to afford the largest opportunity possible to make friends for God and to bring people into contact with the gospel of his grace and love? As God looks at my heart this morning, is he pleased with my stewardship? Because he sees that I'm using these temporary things to strategically advance and accomplish things that really matter to him and that affect people's lives forever. Lord Jesus, that's what you wanted disciples then and today to weigh in their hearts and minds. These are tough questions. They reach to the heart and soul of what motivates each of us to get up in the morning, what drives us and fuels and energizes us, what matters most. It is so easy to slide in and become just like the children of this age, to act as if and to plan as though this life is all there is. That when mammon fails and life ends, that's it. It's over. It's done. You teach us, Father, that there's a larger question that each of us must face, the question of eternity. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, this is something you and I must resolve with God personally. He sees our hearts. He knows our motives. He balances our checkbooks and he weighs our schedules. To those who prove to be faithful stewards of that which is so limited, the least now, he promises to give to them much, great reward, large responsibilities in the eternal kingdom. God wants each one of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to maximize our lives and our resources for His eternal glory. You can't take it with you, but you can invest it in ways that will send it on ahead. Of the two choices, my personal pleasure, or the persons that surround me, God says those persons are more important. Will we this morning be shrewd, wise in how we use the stuff of our lives entrusted to us by God to secure opportunities for friends to know Jesus Christ and through trusting Him have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for talking to us from the pages of Scripture. Thank you for teaching us the truth. Release us from bondage to mammon. Show us how to use mammon to serve you. Give us a heart for those around us who would be your friends. And help us to use our time and resources to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. Dismiss us to think on these things, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm struck by a phrase Jim used toward the end about making friends for God. We've heard a lot about winning souls, and that's good biblical language. But what if we put ourselves in the mindset of stewards, using God's resources to attract friends? Yesterday and today, we heard Jim's sermon from Luke 16 called Shrewd Management. As per usual, we'll send out a CD of the message for your gift of $7 or more. It's one in our series, Stories Jesus Told, Volume 2. There are 11 sermons on as many discs, all yours for a gift of $38 or more. Ordering details are coming up. But please understand that Right Start is a listener-supported ministry. If you can send a gift for the CDs or otherwise, that gift will help pay for airtime, production expenses, web hosting, and other needs. Thanks, and please pray for us. Here's how to get in touch. Call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Or head to our website, rightstartradio.org. There you can hear this radio program again, or find many treasures in the audio library, including complete sermons by Pastor Jim. If your schedule isn't great for catching the radio program every day, you can get the podcast coming to you automatically. That's hosted on iTunes. We'll show you how to set it up at rightstartradio.org. You can click to donate too. Finally, reach us by mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. The unjust steward wasn't the only parable that Jesus told about money. We'll look at another one next. Have a great weekend, and let's reconvene at this same time on Monday for another Right Start.